This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
it is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott.
Yes.
Bart, you know what? I'll tell you what. We don't have any guests today. We have basically 2 hours. We have a couple of our typical elements we put in the show. But other than that, I think it's a good day for yet another buffet.
Aha. Buffet, absolutely.
So with a buffet.
Are we going Cracker Barrel? Are we going Old Country Buffet? Are we going Sizzlers?
I think we're going Sizzler. Get your plates.
We going to Sizzler.
You want pancakes?
We going to Sizzler.
That in mind, give them the number.
1-800. Listen carefully, because I don't want y'all to have no hiccups trying to figure out who y'all trying
number.
To dial, and y'all dial a 1-800 sex line, one of those type of lines. We want you to dial the
phrasing.
Oh, baby, I was trying to call Bart High. Exactly. I wasn't trying to call that line.
You do not want that on your call log. So listen up carefully. 1-800-919-3776. You better start dialing now before we even in anticipation about what we about to discuss, so you can get in line and be already first. And listen, if you're going to be our first caller, don't be wacky, D. But if you can't get us there, because you're not any place where you can make a phone call, you're at work and you're trying to be a silent assassin, you're trying to spit hot fire through the internet waves, then hit us at Bart and Hine on the tweet. You can't get us on the tweet. I mean, if you absolutely can't get us on the tweet, DM Allen exclusively.
No.
Naval picks.
No.
And back tats are recommended.
You should see what they're sending me, Bart. I'm going to start sharing some of this stuff, by the way. Some of you people out there, it's disgusting. It's appalling, some of the stuff that you people do.
Get off my lawn.
It's all in my DM, all of them. And I'm looking at like, why would you send me that?
And remember that. Somebody got the solar sun around their navel. They're like, they could fit a whole plum inside their navel.
Yeah, more than that. There's some things that I'm like, what inspired that? You must have lost a bet.
And if you still have the barbed wire chains on your arm and back, please update those tattoos. They're totally outdated. You don't want to die and people find you mummified and they see like
the tribal I got in 2003. Not cool anymore.
It ain't cool no more. You got to update it. So if you can't get us there, Bill, listen, Bill. I know you're back in the playoff run, but you still have a damn job to do. And when I tell you to do something, Bill, damn it, you do it. I will come there and smack the taste out of your mouth. So, Bill, tell them right now where else they can find us.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Whatever.
Bill, listen, it's one thing to do it. It's one thing to do it with enthusiasm, Bill. Yes. So, Bill, when I tell you to tell the people again where they can find us, they can't find us on the tweet. They can't get on the hotline. They can't get on the Instagram. Tell them where they can get us, Bill.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
You know what, Bill? I'm done with you. Shut up.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is, find us and be part of the show. There's no doubt about that. So, Bart had yesterday off. I went solo yesterday.
Han Solo.
People
kinda missed like Obi-Wan.
You.
Kinda like Obi-Wan.
We could talk some Obi-Wan today. You had to hear what Tibbs said about Obi-Wan, by the way. Kind of gets you a little excited, right? But you were raking leaves yesterday. Did we accomplish mission accomplished, or is now the wind blowing and now it's all back all over the damn place?
Well, you know what? I just did my job. I did my one annual leaf rake. Got everything up out of the gutter. So, you know, right now what you worry about is I need gutter guards. That's what I need. I need gutter guards so that I don't have the pooling of the water and overflowing of it. I need it to get to the actual drain. But then what happens is you just continue past. I need some guards, man. So anybody out there.
You get that, though. You get those things. Then what happens in the winter? It freezes over. The freeze stays on top of the gutter guard.
Oh.
And then it weighs down, and your gutters then
fall off. I don't know what to do, man.
Just take the damn gutters down. Don't even bother. The hell with it.
Exactly. Just let the water just splatter.
Just let it go. I'll tell you what. My landscaper is going to sound bougie, but I'm sorry. It's too big a property for me to be doing leaves by myself. I try. I have all the leaf blowers. I have the backpack blower. I'm that dude that's out there with the backpack blower waiting my neighbor.
Yeah,
it's like, my neighbor's like, Today? Really? Sunday mornings? His coffee in the backyard?
And they randomly going everywhere. You can't get the pattern. You're like, how the hell do they do it where they could get all the leaves to go a certain way?
It drives me crazy. So I also, though, have to get a service to come in, take care of all of it, because there's lots of woods and stuff. Yeah. And so they came once. They usually come three times. They came once. Haven't been back. It's almost like they came once and went, the hell with that. I'm not doing this.
They
gave up on me. So it's a mess right now. And every time I'm like, I'm going to do it today. And I know if I do it today, they're coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm making their job easier. I'm not paying them to make it easier. So it's like this. Now it's this battle of wills I have with my landscaping company.
And it's crazy.
Like, you're not going to make me do it. You can show up and go, oh, it's all done. Good. We're all set.
What I like is how they illegally move the leaves in somebody else's yard or property, or they move it to a certain place. Like a lot of times, like because there's woods there. They'll just dump them in the woods. Like, bro, 100%. No. You got to take them with you, bro.
No, that's what they do.
Like, what is this, compost?
They lift the fence up and they just blow it on the fence. Exactly. I'm like, well, I still see the leaves on the other side of the fence.
But they're in a pile. They're out of your eyesight.
Man, anyway, we already got the calls loading up. Great. 800-919-3776. So, we have Wednesday afternoon football now. That'll be today. We'll get into Ravens and Steelers and all the storylines around that and everything else. More in the noon hour. But I thought today's a perfect day for us to begin with what's going to be an interesting NBA season, especially locally on many different levels. The Nets are going to be a real interesting story. Now, I don't know what story it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
But they're going to be interesting, and they haven't been really interesting in a long time. They are. This is Jason Kidd-level interesting now that the Nets are. And now, instead of being in New Jersey, they're actually in Brooklyn. So, high expectations, and obviously all eyes on the whole league. They have arguably the second-best player in the game on their team. Second best player in the world is on their team, and he's got fans everywhere.
Would you say two top 10 players?
Is Kyrie still top 10?
12.
Let's just say within range, right, of two of the best players in the game today.
So who passed him up? Did Murray pass him up during his year off? Did Murray pass him up, Jamal Murray? Did he pass him up?
That's a good question.
Did Dame Lillard pass him?
When you make the list now, you've got to start thinking to yourself, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic for sure, right? Like, you got all those names. So when you add names, somebody's got to move out. So who gets pushed out of that top 10? We can debate certainly a top 10. That could be actually a lot of fun, who top 10 players in the league are today going into the season. But anyways, just getting back to it, the Nets and Kevin Durant is not just a New York, local story.
Yeah.
That's a national story. And how Kevin plays and what he looks like and all that stuff is a huge deal for the league because he is a very popular player and he's a very talented player, still very much in his prime. So you have that. And then on the other side, it's conversely now, you have the Knicks, who don't have any stars, whose head coach is probably their most important piece.
Yeah.
And he had some really... So both teams, he had interesting things to say yesterday that really, caught my attention, and in Kevin Durant as well. So which way do you want to start? Do we start... See, the Post had KD and the Nets on the back page.
Right.
The New York Post had the $164 million question, which is, can Kevin Durant go back to his old form? That was the big back page story. Mm. The Nets. No mention of the Knicks at all in their first media day. Nothing. You had the Mets signing their... they have a setup guy now. They signed May.
What does that mean?
May. It's his guy. All right? It's a guy.
What does that mean for Betances now?
It's a great question because I don't know who the closer is going to be for them. Who's
going to
be the closer?
You want Lugo.
I think. Well, this guy might set it up where now Lugo stays as a starter. Perhaps he remains a starter. I know. Look, they don't have a GM, so how do I even know what they're thinking?
Let's go back to basketball.
But they also mentioned DJ LeMahieu, who obviously today, you start now wondering when does he get signed. That's going to be a while, I think. He'll be one of the last guys signed. Remember, baseball's free agency works differently from other sports. It's not as quick. These things take time. That's the reference. So the Post is saying the Nets are the bigger story. Now, I'm watching the news last night, 11 o'clock news last night, and there was more attention paid on the Knicks than the Nets. So I'm curious to see, which is the bigger story. The bigger story nationally is the Nets. So let's begin with them. Kevin Durant spoke yesterday, And it's funny how he talks about how he liked having the year off because he'd get a break from talking to the media. Yet the guy was on every podcast known to man.
he did everything.
He don't like talking to writers, but he likes to talk.
Yeah, because when he goes on those, he can check the questions, and if he don't like something, he just
controls the narrative.
Exactly.
Maybe
these are the questions you're asked to allow to ask Mr. Kevin.
Maybe. But anyways, so the question, of course, is as it's going to be almost 2 years. It'll be a year and a half since he played in a game, since that last game he played in, that playoff game, game six, for Golden State. The Achilles now is fully healed, so that's obviously the first question to ask of KD, and here's his response.
It was definitely new. I never experienced that injury before, not even a strain or anything close to that, you know. But learning how to walk again, you know, well, not walking and getting assistance in everything that you do for the first 3 or 4 months was tough. I've been through surgeries and injuries before, but, you know, the longest recovery I had was 3 months. But the first phase of the Achilles was 3 months long, and you couldn't walk or run. You had to use a scooter. So I think just those milestones of reaching, like learning how to walk and learning how to run and jump again and getting used to certain movements again, I think that's underestimated. People don't realize that, and Achilles, that ligament is one of the strongest ligaments in your body, you know, so for that to pop, you got to build that up, and that takes a while.
Now, remember, there's been players who have had to come back from that and Kobe. Have had success, and then there's players who came back from it, and they just weren't the same player again, right? You mentioned Kobe, Wesley Matthews is a player in the league today, there's a couple others, so there's reason to believe he should be able to find his form, especially now that he's had such an... He's had extra time.
Right.
When working out, playing 3-on-3 in L.A. Pretty much throughout the entire pandemic. So, you know, he's got to believe that he's ready to go. But Rachel Nichols asked him pretty directly about it. Is he game ready?
And here's you're talking about how hard the rehab is from an Achilles injury. And there's such a wide swing in recovery. Some guys are never themselves again. And some bounce back really strong. So was there a particular point in your recovery when you could really feel confident that, yeah, I am going to be myself again, that you had that moment?
Who knows? I just got to see how I feel in the real NBA game again.
Yeah, that's of course what matters the most, right? The
exactly.
Speed of the game, the confidence.
Well, it's just the not predetermined moves. I feel like when you're coming out, you're playing, you know, you're doing drills, you kind of know and you anticipate and you load up, right? When you're playing in a natural game, you're reacting to what's happening. You don't know where it's going, what's going to happen. So that's where you have to build that confidence up. And if the Nets are smart, they should have a good enough team, being that they're playing in the East, to be able to bring him back slowly, still keep his minutes up, and no matter how much he says, you know, I can do more, I want to do more, you just hold him back because you need him to be peaking and super confident,
yep,
you know, during the playoffs. So it's one of those things where if you're the Nets, you're not worried about having the best record in the East. You don't fear anybody in the East. You understand what your path is, and putting that pressure on the team to try and be the first or get the top seed, it's really irrelevant because this is a team, if you look at how they're constructed, that should be able to travel. Shouldn't matter if they have to go steal one and steal home field advantage or somewhere else. They got the best player, the second best player. I would say if he's number two, then you have the number one player in the Eastern Conference.
I would agree. Everybody wants to say Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's no chance he's better than Kevin Durant.
Right,
when Kevin Durant's healthy, no chance Giannis is better than him.
Right. He is the best scorer that we've seen. I know we talk about Harden, but he's the best pure scorer. I mean, Harden has the three-pointer. He can get to the basket whenever he wants. But Kevin can get to the basket wherever he wants. He can get to any spot on the floor he wants. And because of his 7 feet frame, he can shoot over anybody. So nobody can disturb his shot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tall enough, you're not quick enough to stay in front of him. If you're quick enough, you're not tall enough to disturb his shot. So, like, he can still come in with the 18-foot game. He can shoot the three-pointers. He's the complete offensive player. And the crazy thing is, when he was with the Warriors, he wasn't asked to really carry as much of the scoring load. So we saw him develop as a help defender, which is something that we weren't used to seeing him do. It kind of protect the rim and use that length to help guys on the weak side. So it's going to be important to kind of see how he evolves and if who's going to be that third person. That's what we're talking about. Who's going to be that third person that's going to allow him to coast and not allow him to have so much demand on him on a night in and night out basis. And I still think that this team is far from a finished product.
Mm-hmm.
I think before the trade deadline, they make that move for Harden and they go in feeling like they're a super team, but then they're going to have to try and gel, and it's going to be an interrupted part of the season where they're going to try and be filling out how to play with each other. But by the time they get to the postseason, I think this team, if you
add Harden, and you don't lose too many of your pieces, like maybe DeAndre Jordan, because you're going to need somebody, you know, to be able to play and pick. Well, the crazy thing, man, like when just kind of think about this, Kevin Durant can probably be asked to guard Anthony Davis. What crazy would that be? Two unicorns going against each other because I don't think DeAndre Jordan is quick enough, and he's an offensive liability.
Not at this point in his career.
To be able to play off the pick and roll.
Right. So that's true, and they have Jared Allen. Now, again, if you're talking about making the trade.
Yeah, you're probably going to lose Jared
Allen. Right. But it's funny, it's perfect setup now for the next Kevin Durant comment, which, of course, is the other one that made a lot of headlines, and that involves the James Harden rumors. And the fact that they're very close, they're still friends. And it's a poorly kept secret within NBA circles that they've spent a lot of time together in L.A. They have. I mean, it's just common knowledge, right? Kevin's been in L.A. He's been training. He's been working out. Kyrie's been there. They've been playing. A lot of pickup. Harden has been part of it, too. Remember where he is.
Did they invite Dinwiddie? Or did they tell him, you're not going to be on the team, so you need to go play somewhere else in L.A.? You're going to play with Patrick Beverly and all those other dudes.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, again, what everybody that knows, okay, is that they've spent time together. So naturally, the rumors then begin to pick up. All right, James doesn't want to be there, and he's trying to push a trade to Brooklyn. Well, so Kevin Durant then was asked about the rumors regarding James Harden, how they talked about playing together in Brooklyn. How about this response? Take a listen.
I don't know. Where are you making these stories up that me and James talked about any of this that'll work out? Like, yeah. I don't know where that came from. James is a friend of mine, but I let the front office handle all of that stuff.
Yep.
I was just so focused on working out. I heard all the noise, and I heard that, James potentially wanted to come to the Nets, but anybody can make up stories. Anybody can write a story, and it gets some traction. So, nothing's ever set in stone till it's set in stone. So I never thought too much about it. Just focused on myself, and my teammates probably did the same thing. We could just move forward.
Yeah.
BS translator.
Please turn it on for me.
You're a liar. And, not only are you a liar, KD, you're a bad liar. Like, bruh. You mean to tell me you were worried about getting Steve Nash as your coach, or you can have a partnership, not a coach? But you're not worried about making sure that the narrative is correct when you come here and you made the move to leave Golden State to kind of write your own narrative to prove that you can win, and you heard the rumors by your boy wanting to come, and you're not gonna mention it, you're not gonna talk to him about it. You're not doing D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns like, yo, bro, it'd be sick if you can come here with us, man, bro. You all we need. Stop it. Come on, KD.
Playing us for fools.
Did you have the Beijing in your head too much? It's starting to cloud your brain, man. Because I tell you what, one thing that looked new and better is his hair. So I don't know if he put a Just For Me perm in that thing, but that thing was laying down good for media day, baby.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
That's some rehab there, too. Rehab. Is that right?
I don't hate him for it. But he could get more he can get more coverage because he was not Forrest Whitaker KD yesterday. He had coverage, man. That thing looked like it was like he had the sulfur. He had the sulfur dandruff.
Yeah.
Like,
no, he had a good seltzer.
Yeah, he had the seltzer blue. He had conditioner in that thing. That thing was shining, man. That thing was a black that I wasn't used to seeing, man. I didn't see his scalp at all. So KD, I don't know if that's sinking in your brain, but if you expect us to believe that, then I have some oceanfront property in Idaho to sell you.
I like it. Well, how about this, though, by the way, on this topic, Tim McMahon reporting from ESPN, he covers Houston Rockets. Rockets did their virtual media day. They're doing it today, right?
I just want a fair chance, man.
Well, the players that they're making available, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, and Daniel House Jr.
That's it. First of all, nobody.
They have Russell Westbrook and James Harden on the team, and it's talk to Daniel House and ask him about his
nobody even knew
his friendship that he created in the bubble.
Oh, yeah. That's what he's known for, right?
Like, Daniel House is basically going to have to fall on the sword because he's like, I got to talk to the media. You know what they're going to ask me, right?
Yeah. He go like, I married that chick. You know, the same way Paul George. Like, you get called up like that, you got to say, you know what? Listen, the reason I stepped out of protocol.
How to get divorced first.
Oh.
my bad.
Whoops. Yeah, not to laugh about it, but I'm just saying, like, it's that kind of thing.
Anthony's on point today. I tell you what, Anthony must got some sleep because he on point with these drops. I don't know what he doing, man. He Octoman today, but he on point with these.
It's almost like it's almost like a bidet. It's almost like it's getting too easy for him now in the studio. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. So that's from the Nets side of things. There'll be more, obviously, more of the conversation going on with them, but they're going to be a very fascinating team. We will talk about the Christmas Day schedule, and that'll come up in Blitzer Prevent later in the hour. The Christmas Day schedule does, like I predicted would, and it's not really a reach, will include the Nets. They'll play the Celtics, so the Nets will be one of the premier teams on Christmas Day, and it should be with a guy like Kevin Durant, obviously Kyrie as well. Having them, and you never know. Maybe James Harden is part of it by Christmas.
Yeah.
It might happen, but they are a fascinating team, no doubt about it. Everybody knows, like, I know I'm the Knicks guy, and I'm supposed to hate them. I'm not, because I've said this since last year and before the rumors. Kevin Durant's one of my favorite players to watch because, just as you said, he can get his shot any way he wants. His shot is so wet. Like, his shot
is
silky.
It's like Ray Allen.
Amazing.
Exactly. Like, he's a dude. Like, when you watch him play, when you watch him operate offensively, that's a guy, you have the law of watching him play basketball, right? So Durant is going to be a fascinating player to watch. That team's going to be fascinating to see how it all comes together and whether or not they can be as good as their potential. But the Knicks are also going to be, in their own way, an interesting team. Much differently, of course. Generally, in the past, it's always been like, what can the Knicks be and what kind of a train wreck is this going to turn into?
Right.
This is more like you're waiting for them to jump off the rails, because for the first time in a long time, they look like they're on the rails.
Right.
Right? They're actually on rails, and they might not be moving fast, but at least you see that they're on a track.
Right.
And they have a head coach that believes in that track. All right, we're going to have to apologize as a show here.
Uh-oh.
Take my hat off for a second. At BKN says, very upset. Uh-oh. Very upset.
Not a little bit, but very upset.
Yeah, apparently we're just having some fun with KD, and you're talking about his hair and the fact that he's saying that he doesn't know who made up the rumors about Harden. And yeah, but we shouldn't do
so,
that.
So
terrible.
Yeah, you grow up.
Yeah, we're bad people.
How dare we have some fun with
who are you? Obvious. Why do I got to talk to you?
I mean, we talk about LeBron's hairline. Why can't we be equal opportunity?
No, you can't.
You can't,
Bart. Very sensitive people who understand that radio is strictly a medium where you only talk about the basic boring facts in every day, and you take everything that people say.
That is true.
As letter of the law.
So I can say that KD.
Don't even have fun. Don't laugh. Don't make a joke. Can't do it.
So I would be a habitual line if I say that KD's put up more shots and hair follicles than he has in his head. That would be crossing the line.
See, again, we're going to get another tweet now.
DM you. I'll be DM'd.
He tweeted at Barton. He's just very angry.
Why, man? First of all, understand that we love KD, and that when we're talking about KD, what we're basically trying to do is make Jason Williams uncomfortable because they're friends, and he knows that Jason Williams loves doing our show, and like, this is just giving ammunition, so when Jay will talk to him, that he's pissed off, and we're trying to get some free shoes from Kyrie through Jason.
I was trying to be nice to Kyrie just so I can get some shoes.
Yeah, that's why we didn't say anything about Kyrie. We said everything about KD.
Nothing at all. Shane, by the way, tweets at us.
Okay.
He said, your landscaper has you under surveillance. They're watching you. As soon as you do the leaves, they're going to show up right after you put the blower away.
Yep.
Shane, that's how I feel. I believe in that kind of conspiracy theories. I 100% believe in that. Like, they have like a dude just like driving by just waiting. That house that we none of us want to work at. Let the guy get so frustrated.
I don't want to do it. I'll do it myself.
An hour and a half later. And I gotta deal with this. And then they'll show up going, oh, well, you did it for us, thanks. Here's the bill.
Yeah.
It's a great job, Shane. You're absolutely right about that.
Now, we've heard about Kyrie being a chemistry killer, right?
It's happened.
When he went to Boston, we talk about some of the things that he's done, alienate teammates or whatever.
Yeah.
Why are we starting to get this narrative that Kawhi is like that guy, too?
It's a great question.
Like, people are looking at him and his load management and talking about, like, they don't like the treatment that he gets, and it kind of messes up the chemistry. I mean,
apparently that was an issue in L.A., in the bubble.
Yeah, so
apparently that team was not inspired at all.
I mean, should they? I mean, see, these are things that Tyronn Lue's going to have to nip in the butt.
Yep.
Like, listen, I can treat all you guys the same. I can treat all you guys fairly. I can't treat all you guys the same.
Uh-huh.
Because that's something that Brian Billings should tell me. Like, understanding that Michael McCray, I understood that Michael McCray wasn't going to practice all week. He was going to play in the game. He had bone on bone, like, knees. He had a knee replacement at, like, 35, two knee replacements. Like, because, you know, so his knees would swell up. We have to understand, I think we forget that Kawhi has a degenerative, we believe, knee. So the more you put on it,
I think I thought it was didn't he have a quad issue?
Right, but the quad is already connected to the top of the knee because, you know, knee tendonitis and stuff like that. It flares up, bursa sacs are bursting and stuff like that. Wow. So, like, if Tyronn Lue wants to make sure that it's a good chemistry, he needs to nip this in the bud if these are allegations that his former teammates have, because now we got guys at Montrezl Harrell that's not there anymore.
Left.
Who knows, is Lemon Pepper Lue going to stay there? Are they saying about moving him? I don't know why would they get rid of Lemon Pepper Lue, because, like, he's a guy that puts up instant buckets. But, you know, if they get rid of him, you know, you talk about, you know, people are going to start talking about what the experience was like with being with Kawhi. All I know is Kawhi may be a Devo, but he plays on both ends of the court. So if you play on both ends of the court as hard as he does, then I think you should be given a pass if you get time off. Now, I only understand if you're a guy that just comes and you just straight put up buckets and you're a liability on defense and you don't put the effort in or you're not an outstanding defender. Kawhi defends the toughest person on the opposing team. So, like, if that's the guy that has the more on his plate to produce scoring and also to be a defensive stopper, then of course he should get special treatment, whether he had a degenerative knee or not. See, that's what happens when guys want to get in their feelings and they think that they're the star. Like, no, he's the star. Like, understand that. But the fact that they're
in the NBA too, in any other place, more than anything in the NBA, absolutely, there's no question about it. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. Was it Johnny Queens had a Knicks question as we get into some Knicks stuff? Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's going on, Bart?
How we doing?
Yesterday I heard, I missed your show, but I heard Michael Kay hating a lot on the Knicks. And first of all, he said that he thinks we look worse off now than we did last year, which I think is kind of hard to say.
Yeah,
but
I don't agree with that.
I want to understand, like, he was basing it off of what Mark Berman of the Post wrote. And from what I can gather, what Mark Berman wrote was the same thing that there was a rumor going around on Clutch Sports. But I don't think there's any, like, credence to the fact that we wanted Chris Paul. That was our plan A, and we missed out on him. But I have to make
I got to be honest with you. John, let me just take that one to test. And Berman's a guy I worked with for a long time as beat writers together. I've known him a long time. So this is not a personal attack on Mark Berman at all. But that story was like, to say that was the plan A, Chris Paul and Melo. Like, I told you about Chris Paul and Melo when? In the spring, I was talking about that.
Yeah.
Like, I was telling you, like, right, there could be a scenario where they think maybe they can make this, and you bring in Melo, and you have a couple of vets, and that. Like that wasn't a plan A. That was just a plan.
I'm just saying, John, all I'm saying is
to look at that and say, like, they failed on a plan A. No, it was like, that's one way you can go and get a couple of vets. But you don't bring in Melo without Chris Paul. So Melo really is sort of the... It's just Chris Paul was a guy they would have loved to have brought in as a leader to help them establish some credibility. But Chris Paul wanted to stay close to home. So it really never ended up being a reality. And then some people say, well, Chris Paul would have come to New York if they were fans at the Garden. He would have gotten the full Garden experience. Okay, maybe. But the reality is, and I've been saying this from day one, his family's in L.A. They always stayed in L.A. Even when he was in Houston and Oklahoma City, they stayed in L.A. He wanted to be close to home. Phoenix is close to home. And so basically that's what happened. It wasn't a plan A. Now my question is, did they spend all the cap space properly? Could they have done more, or did they feel like there wasn't enough that was going to put us over the top? That's the plan A to me was, can they absorb a trade contract into their space? They couldn't. There was nothing out there that was going to shake the world, and the Westbrook thing was the only thing they could have done, and that one, that third year, was enough to make everybody pause. So I don't buy into how they're in the same place they were last year when they didn't get Durant and Kyrie. They are basically in the same place, meaning they're still developing. They're still waiting. They're still looking to build. That's where they are. But I got to say this, and I love David Fizdale. So, you know, he's a personal friend of mine. This is the best coach they've had since Jeff Van Gundy. This is the best coach they've had, and he's going to have to do a great job. Now, when it comes to their coach, Bart, there's a couple of things that stood out to me from what he said. And one thing that he talked about that I want to get your take on is how this notion, it's a young team, and you got all these, they have about, I think, eight draft picks by the team has made on this roster. And he said, because you have all these young players, people just assume, all right, you got to play the young players regardless. You got to live through their mistakes, right? Isn't that what you're doing? And here's Tom Thibodeau talking about playing time and how it has to be earned.
Nothing will be given to anyone. You're going to have to earn your minutes. And those decisions on rotation will be based on performance and what gives the team the best chance of winning. A player's not just going to get minutes to get minutes. You have to impact winning. You have to put the team first. There has to be sacrifices made. And that's what we're going to strive towards each and every day.
And then the next thing he also said, he went back on it and said, between winning and development. Listen to this.
I think there's a lot that goes into development. And I think, you know, like oftentimes people say, well, you have to play them in a game. And you do. But you also have practice is where it starts. So you got to get that part down first. Then you have to have study, film study, meetings with your coaches. And then you also have the opportunity to use the G League. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can develop, but also understanding the importance of winning and how important that is. And so things are going to be earned. They're not going to be given to players. And that's the way I think we have to approach it.
What do you think of that?
I mean, that's the way it is, right? You know, I mean, I think that creates an environment for everybody to be able to flourish, right? Understanding that everything's going to be earned, and that's pretty much to the back of Tom Thibodeau's, you know, baseball card, so to speak, right? It's all about, you know, attitude. It's about effort. It's about execution. That's everything that he's ever been. You know, you think about his Chicago Bulls teams and when they were young, it was about playing hard and wearing you down and grinding you down. Now, I know sometimes, you know, he gets that narrative that, you know, he wears guys out because practice is so hard. But when you have such a young team, you can get away with that because you're trying to give them a foundation, something that they can always find, something they can always fall back on, like the Giants, right? Something that you can always fall back on. Like, because one thing you can always control, you sometimes can't control if your shot's falling. You can't control, you know, like if you got that invisible juice on you and all your moves are working. But you can always control your effort and your attitude, how you encourage your teammates on the sideline. And understanding that, hey, the best here will play only inspires you to get some Mitchell Robinsons of the world, to get you some guys that maybe ascend that people didn't see coming, right? I think that's really what it's all about. You know, being able to say, hey, this is an environment where the best person will play. So if your effort is right, if your production is right, you will get rewarded with minutes. Every minute will be earned here, not given. Because when you give it to players, they don't appreciate it. They don't learn how to fight through it.
And that's, I think, something as you watch now going forward, that's something that now I want to mention too. If you're a Knicks fan listening, an NBA fan listening, is that there's one position, Bart, that we thought was a given.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the center position.
Ooh.
And you figure Mitchell Robinson has been a revelation. Defensively, fantastic. He set the record for field goal percentage at 72%. Where, like, I wrote it down, but I can't remember now. A percentage of his dunks, his percentage of his field goals made were dunks. Like, it's right. Ridiculous, right? It's all he does. But he's also a very good defensive big. And you thought he'd be perfect. Like, Thibodeau was going to get him and turn him into a monster, right?
Yeah.
But Tom yesterday said something that I haven't seen anybody write about this yet, but I'm telling you, this is going to become a story. So I'm telling you now so you know to look for it. Mitchell Robinson is not a given as the starting center. He probably is right now. Nerlens Noel yesterday said that he's very much here to compete for the job, and he knows they're the same, pretty much the same player.
Yeah.
And he also was rated very high defensively. And he also is like a 65% field goal because all he does is dunk the basketball as well.
Okay.
So he feels like we're the same player.
Lock
now, he also says, oh, I'm here to be a big brother and blah, blah, blah. But that's one thing. And then Tibbs talked about Mitchell Robinson and said things like this. He's got a long way to go. He said, then he brought up, for Mitchell Robinson, it's about the work part, professionalism, that he has to be about winning, the discipline to practice well each and every day. He said, I don't know where he's going to end up, but that there's a lot of things that he can do that's very unique. But to me, when you hear a coach talk about a young player and bring up things like what areas you got to work with him. When he says professionalism, how to be about winning, that the discipline to practice well each and every day, what does that suggest to you?
Well, that's suggesting that, hey, we see that you're just scratching the surface. And, yeah, you may be, you know, better player than Noel right now, but we want a guy that's going to work. We want a guy that's going to bring the best out of himself. And you're just scratching the surface. We don't want you satisfied with just dunking the ball.
Thank you.
We want to see you, you know, mature and become something better. Because for this team to be great, we need to be able to have a guy that we picked in the second round.
We can rely on you every day.
Right. Like a Draymond Green that becomes a star or an all-star consistently. To do that, you're not there yet. You're a good player. You're a great surprise. But then how do you respond and how do you react when it's expected of you, when the other team's expected out of you, when you become part of their game plan, when they say, okay, well, we got to take this guy away, and, oh, Jared Allen, when you guys match up, we need you to be better than him. So we need you to stretch your game out and add some, you know, when people, oh, to me, LeBron's greatness isn't the fact that he came in and he's the greatest player. It's that he's the hardest worker.
Yep.
Because I remember when he came in as Cleveland, because I was front and center, because being a Detroit Pistons fan, mm-hmm. not the new breed Pistons. You know, I watched his greatness mature and develop, right, from when he decided to pump fake and throw it to Daniel Marshall and give up the big play. Even though he made the right play, we saw him develop into a guy who had that killer instinct, that knew how to make the right play and knew what teammates to trust. And, you know, every year, you know, we talk about how bad his shooting was, much like Jason Kidd. People don't realize how horrible Jason Kidd's shot was. Well, who has more three-pointers than Jason Kidd?
He's every year list. Just kept working and working on his game.
Right,
but that's exactly the point, is the one thing about LeBron that you saw from an early age was that he did not settle on his talent, that he was maniacal about his work and became great. And when you look at the raw talent that Mitchell Robinson has, it's raw talent. He's really never been coached. And I think Tibbs sees him, and Tibbs is a professional coach. He's got a professional staff, and they all are probably looking at him. And we all know off the court, he's a bit of a, you know, he's a kind of a goofball. He's a funny guy, great personality, but it's sort of like, okay, kid, you need to lock in when you step on this floor, and maybe they haven't seen it yet. And that's something, like I said, everybody, that's just something to watch. We got a few minutes here. Let's go Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, for a minute, we'll stay on NBA, and that is the schedule. We're starting to get now a little pieces of the schedule. So, according to The Athletic, the NBA opening the season on December 22nd. And with that, you'll have this doubleheader, Bart. The Nets and the Warriors in Brooklyn, according to The Athletic. So you have KD going up against his former team. And Lakers Clippers in LA. That's a hell of a doubleheader, right? Would you say? All right, that's something that you'd be excited about. According to Woj, the Christmas Day lineup was, at least he reported it yesterday. You've got the headliner game would be Mavericks-Lakers, so you get more LeBron. You get Luka on Christmas Day, and that's the 8 o'clock primetime game. Zion Williamson, also Christmas Day. That will be the first game at noon against the Miami Heat. The Eastern Conference champions are not playing on opening night and are the noon game on Christmas Day. The noon game is basically like people are still opening presents. You ain't watching the game. It's on the background. It's a little disrespectful to the Heat, in my opinion. Anyway, you get the Warriors again. They'll play Giannis. You have Steph Curry Warriors. Giannis and the Bucks. That's in the afternoon, about 2:30 in Milwaukee. Now, Warriors will be in Brooklyn for the opener, so they'll go to Milwaukee after that. Awful way to start the season for Golden State. They've got to be on the road for the holiday. Let's see. What else we've got here? Brooklyn back at it. They'll be on Christmas Day as well. And they'll be playing the Celtics. And that's a 5 o'clock game.
So who has
Lakers Mavericks is the 8 o'clock game. Lakers Mavericks, the Doncic LeBron, okay?
Ooh.
And then the last game of the day is Clippers Nuggets in Denver. And you remember the Clippers blew their that 3-1 series lead and blah, blah, blah. And the Nuggets ended up upsetting them and the Clippers were a mess. Anyways, Blitz or Prevent. It's not the lineup that I projected. My lineup was way better. I had the best lineup. We've got a great ratings. This is why the NBA is struggling. They don't listen to me.
Huge. It's been huge.
This feels like, though, they're just forcing stars onto the screen and expecting you
is.
To watch.
That's what it is. They want to force and make sure they get Zion out there. They want to try and take advantage of all the markets. Even though, you know, New Orleans doesn't have a huge market, Zion is a global star. I just hope that he's healthy and they're saying, hey, you know, I need all you guys at least for this Christmas. their lineup to be available and play. Like, if you're going low management LeBron, all that stuff, low management later. But on these primetime games where you know NBA has the biggest footprint, we need you out there.
KD on opening night is 22nd, 25th, Christmas Day. He's got to play again. Like, I wonder, does he play both games? There's your question. All right, moving on. So the Major League Baseball non-waiver deadline tonight, 8 o'clock. It's, again, it's just when teams must decide whether to tender contracts to players with less than 6 years of service time. It includes arbitration-eligible players who could receive a salary raise if they are tendered a contract. So Gary Sanchez is one prominent name to watch here. Hard to believe the Yankees would dump Gary without having another option at catcher on the roster. You always mention Real Muto. He's going to cost a ton and might be out of the Yankee budget. Yadier Molina. James McCann was the guy. Also, you brought up his name. Other names. Now, the Mets, keep in mind, are also in the market for a catcher. So, yes. Blitzer Prevent, are we being too hard on Gary after a bad performance in a weird short season, or is it just time to move on?
He was historically bad, and we, I know the year before, the analytics and everything said that, things will work out, but, I'm sure that Cashman, if he wants to keep him, will try and say, hey, well, if we projected the season out, his numbers would have been okay right where most catchers
home runs
are.
Still.
Right, that's what they said. They would have said probably, hey, if we stretch this out basically two more times, that would have been 30 home runs, which is right on par. You know, unfortunate that the numbers and analytics couldn't work themselves out. He was better defensively, and they'll say he's better at framing pitching if they want to keep him. If they don't want to keep him, they'll try and move him for some type of assets and bring in some competition, was it Higashioka?
Higashioka. Did you mention, was that the building in Die Hard? What you just named?
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, Floyd Mayweather calling out everybody and telling him, stop clowning Nate Robinson. Remember, he got knocked out this weekend in that fight with Jake Paul in the Tyson-Jones fight.
Yeah.
And Nate got knocked out. So Floyd went public, said, Nate, I'm proud of you. Always stand behind my brothers. He said, I'll never kick my brother when he's down. And he said, it's okay for people to voice their opinions on social media, but no black athletes or black entertainers, especially black NBA players, should make a mockery out of you. We're supposed to stand with each other through the good, bad, and ugly. I'm here to uplift you and let you know we all love you and congratulate you for just making an effort. And he added that a side note to all this is that he's had to deal with this as well. And he said, as for Nate, he did post on social media after the fight that he's okay, and he thanked everybody for reaching out. Bart Blitzer Prevent, to quote The Godfather 2, this is the business we chose.
Yes, you can't, first of all, you can't be selective after you call a YouTuber white boy out, right? Let's just see what it is. Everybody wants to fight Jake Paul, right? So, like, you call him out, and he knocks you out. Right, that would be called asking for a kicking. That's what we would call. And what part are he talking about? Floyd is from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I guarantee you, have you ever seen his 24/7 with him and his father, him and his uncle, Roger, rest in peace? It's all about making jokes about everybody. He clowns everybody. Let's ask 50 Cent, do Floyd try and be professional? And let's ask, is he a guy that's going to outstand and not try and push a black person while he down? Stop it. Listen, you took the L. You put yourself out there. Not only did you get knocked out, you got knocked out like night-night. Like Roy Jones stuck in paws against Glenn, what is it? Glenn, not Taylor. Whatever his name is. The road man. I'm not the best. I just beat the best. Right? When he got stuck in paws, right? So, like, when you get knocked out like that, I don't care if it's street fights. I'm sure he's made fun of World Star as well. Watching guys get knocked out night-night. Drunken fights. Come on, man. Nate took an L, and you got to be forever become a meme. You put yourself out there. Now, if you'd have knocked out Jake Paul, he'd have been making fun of Jake Paul, and we'd have been making fun of him. Oh, because Jake Paul's not a brother. That's not okay. No, stop it. You talk about a YouTuber putting himself out there and fighting a professional athlete, you would think advantage goes professional athlete. So, who's at the disadvantage here? Stop it, Floyd. Now you want to be a grown-up. Stop it. Until you kiss up and make up with Floyd make up with 50 Cent, and he stops, and 50 Cent in turn stops making fun of your reading ability, then we'll stop having fun and laughing. But we know what black Twitter and black Instagram is all about. It's about making fun, taking lemons and making them lemonade. And listen, this is a big glass of lemons. So we're going to make lemonade all day. Barack Obama laughed. Stop it.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.